Well, there were discussions about it because I was a little bit nervous. I have always written in so many different styles. When this opportunity came around to record another album, there were some other songs that, you know, like Cherry Cola and Bring It All Back, that were the first, you know, songs that I was like, right, this is it, you know. And so then the rest of the album I was writing within that style, and it was really exciting because I've always written in these different types of ways but never had the opportunity to showcase them to people. But with that was, you know, a little bit of concern as to will people, you know, will I kind of lose some of my followers that really were strictly into blues and roots, or will they kind of come along on the journey with me.
I wanted to talk about your relationship with Cram from Spiderbait. I mean, you met him back a couple of years ago with a songwriting mentorship program. I wanted to talk about, you know, what's the relationship been like with him over the last couple of years, and also what was his involvement like on the album?
It was just really organic. So Cram's a really lovely guy and very approachable. And after we met, we stayed in touch, and the whole group of us stayed in touch. We all became very, very good friends. And Cram said, you know, if any of you guys are record, or as soon as you record new stuff, I want to, you know, come and be a part of it. And so that's how that happened. And he lives in Queensland, just outside of Brisbane as well. And that's where I grew up. So I was down there recording, and he drove up to the studio and he played drums on a few of the tracks. And then on a couple of tracks, he, you know, kind of had a bit of a co-production role in, you know, suggesting where he thought some things should or shouldn't go. And it was just a lot of fun, you know. It was, you know, Spiderbait, I loved Spiderbait growing up. Yeah. So it was, you know, a little bit kind of weird getting to work with one of my idols, but at the same time just felt very, very natural.
And looking at the album itself, Happiness Is ... I think it's a really interesting title for an album. I mean, when I read that and I listened to the album, I thought that it could kind of be interpreted as a bit of a question for the listener to fill in, or even that you yourself are asking yourself, or even as a bit of a statement. But I wanted to know, I mean, what you thought of what I just said, but also, you know, why you set on that as a title.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's all of those things. It is a question to the listener about what makes you happy. And it was certainly a question to myself over the last couple of years. And writing this album has been the most enjoyable experience, one of the most happiest times of my life. A lot of ups and downs, and through that time, asking myself, you know, what does make me happy, and just really coming back to simple things. And it started off with me on Facebook, just kind of, and then this had nothing to do with the album title. I wasn't even thinking about that, but just kind of reminding myself what was making me happy. And every now and again, I'd post on my Facebook page, happiness is ... the sound of rain on a tin roof and fresh sheets on a bed, you know. And I just started doing that fairly regularly. And then, you know, happiness is discovering that someone else has refilled the ice tray in the freezer. Hallelujah. Just these really simple little things that were reminding myself to just be grateful of the tiniest things, because they are so important. And then after a while, it was about a year of me doing this, and the album was shaping itself and coming together, and I was going through so many different emotions and wins and losses and all of it together, I realized that, you know, this whole album is happiness is, this whole album is pieced together by things that have happened to me over the last couple of years that have taught me so much, and ultimately, you know, led me to understanding what happiness is.
Yeah, and I think at the moment it's kind of come at a really nice time, because I think over the last 6 months or something, that's kind of been the question that we've all had to ask ourselves, because we haven't been able to do all the things that help us distract ourselves from the everyday. So I think that, you know, in a way, even though you did have to delay the album a little bit, I think it's been, I don't know, it kind of made me answer the question for myself as well.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I hope it does help people kind of think about it.
And as you mentioned, you know, a lot of the stuff that you wrote on this record did make you, you know, it was about the stuff that you've been through. And on Record Stores, you sing, I mean, it's a beautiful track, and you sing about, you know, going to music shops for comfort and as a bit of a mental health balm. I mean, what was it? What is it about Record Stores that you really connect with?
Well, I was having a particularly bad day when I wrote that, and I was spiraling into a pretty deep and dark place, and it wasn't really about anything in particular. I was just having a bad day, and I do suffer from anxiety and a bit of depression, and these things happen to me from time to time. And I decided to just walk over to the record player. I grabbed a beer out the fridge and popped on a record, and just instantly my mood changed, and the rest of my day was great after that. And I decided later to write, I sat down and wrote Record Stores as a reminder to myself that, you know, music is so, so important, and it has the ability to change your mindset in a split second. If you want to feel sad and have a good cry, you can put on a record that makes you do that. Or if you feel like having a dance, or we play it at our weddings, we play it at our funerals, and it's a soundtrack to most of the important milestones of our lives. And it's just so necessary and so important. And that song was about that, the fact that, you know, you can walk into a record store and, you know, or you know, jump onto Spotify or whatever it is that you do, but consume new music and just feel how you're supposed to feel at the time. And it's, yeah, it's very important.
Now, you're based out of Cairns, and I mean, for a lot of us down here in Sydney, we're probably not super familiar with what the music scene is like up there. I wanted to ask you, you know, what is the music scene like up at Cairns, and how has it been supportive in your career?
So the music scene is fairly small, I think in the original sense. So there's not a great deal of venues up here because we're a small town. It is a tourist town, so it's a beautiful spot to live. You know, you've got dive boats and reef and rainforest, and I love living up here. You know, people like going camping and fishing and, you know, just hiking and doing all that kind of stuff, which I love. But the Originals music scene is kind of, you know, restricted to the fact that we don't have a lot of venues that cater to that. We do have a large covers scene up here because backpackers come in and they want to go out and they want to hear music that they have heard before, and that's great. So there is definitely a music scene up here. It's just a little bit different to, you know, I guess the original circuit. But it has been amazing living up here. The support that I've received has been incredible, I think, because you are in a small town. It is regional, and therefore, you know, you've got access to different things because you are regional, to kind of help the fact that you can't get to opportunities in your next big city. And, you know, the locals just kind of really, really do back you because they're excited. So it's great. You know, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. As much as I do miss living in a bigger city, I don't miss being in traffic for 3 hours a day. And, you know, so my days are a little bit longer because I can fill them with other things, you know, instead of commuting.
And looking, so back in 2018, you won the Carol Lloyd Award, which was a 15 grand fellowship to Queensland artists. How important was that award? Was it kind of important knowing that there was an institution out there, you know, helping support you?
Yeah, it was life-changing. It's one of the very, very few. I mean, it's the only thing that I can actually think of that is an award that is for all ages and all genres. And there's not a lot of things out there for female musicians that are kind of outside of their 20s. So it was, you know, so grateful for it. And at that time, I didn't know how I was going to continue. It's such a hard thing being an independent musician. I don't have a label. I work my bum off. And it was at the point where I'm like, how much longer can I really continue this for? You know, maybe some other things should take priority in my life. And I applied for the Carol Lloyd Award, and I was a finalist, and I had been a finalist before. So I wasn't expecting to walk away with the award, and it was just such a weird feeling. I was so shocked, and I was shaking, and I couldn't even get a word out when I had to accept the award, because I was just in such disbelief. It had just completely changed the next 5 years of my life. And it was a sign to me, you know, don't quit, just put out another record. And because of that, to have that space and that financial pressure lifted off my shoulders, I was able to experiment with all these different songs and sounds that I'd been wanting to for such a long time and didn't have the money to do so.